This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Origin Fever hit Singapore, Deep Throat returns, and the Mole drops by to apply for the vacant host job. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You're playing games with my heart. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts. Today, he's wearing nothing but a Mercedes Corby mask. He's the runner-up of the 2004 Oatley Third Grade Touch Judge of the Year Award, who this week encouraged both cricketers and rugby league players to strike together. Welcome, Sid.
Absolutely, I did. Good idea. Love it now, how you spring these on me.
Now, listen, you texted me today and said your radio broke.
No, see, this is where you don't listen to me. I said we broke a radio station.
What happened?
It's gone.
No.
That intro was different. We don't do any toilet S-Ben jokes or...
Well, there's the toilet there.
Crap jokes.
Whole station's in the toilet.
It certainly is. We broke an empire.
Who's next?
We were on for a few months maybe?
If that.
Couple of months.
That's all it takes.
Apparently the complaints went through the roof, but the ratings bottomed out. So we are no longer on Eon Sports, but we're fielding offers. In fact, you may even make an appearance tomorrow.
I'm on radio tomorrow. But anyway, as we come on air tonight, Sid, we were looking at some photos of Melania Trump wearing a Dolce & Gabbana jacket.
We were.
That apparently is worth $70,000 just for that jacket. Now, tell listeners what you described it as.
Well, I thought she looked stunning in that vibrant floral Dolce & Gabbana jacket paired with a soft beige fitted dress. I thought the exquisite stitching required for the lifelike silk flowers on the dress can only be achieved by 10-year-old Cambodian children paid $6 a year. So it's no wonder it costs 70 grand.
Well, that's not what you described as. Tell everyone what you described that $70,000 jacket as.
My missus houseware.
Something she just throws on around the house?
Yep.
It's a pleasure to work
She's
with
you. She's got it in each colour.
Another news story to come out of this week is on news.com.au, could blow up dolls curb prison violence. Now, Jack Suarez, 48, is currently serving a 17-year sentence for drug dealing in Her Majesty's Prison of Loudoun Grange in Nottinghamshire. He believes that sex dolls could help improve inmate behaviour by providing pent-up men with a release for their passion. And has begun a campaign to allow sex toys into prison.
Have you seen those pommy sex dolls?
No.
Bad teeth. Not what you want in a sex doll.
I mean, I'm a stickler for the old-fashioned thing, Sid. I think this is a bit
the
crazy.
The old-fashioned jail sex?
Yeah, the old-fashioned get one in the showers, get a shot away. Surely this can't happen, surely.
Well, I had a bit of a think about it. It would be easier to hide a mobile phone up the anus of your sex doll cell mate rather than your own anus.
Or your cellmates.
It's got an upside, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Well, I'm thinking more about Alcatraz and thinking how handy that sex doll could be, because not only could you give it a good flogging each night, but you could use it as a life raft to get off that island.
Good point.
Halfway across the island, you can stop for a bit of...
I've been at Alcatraz. They actually show you where they made up fake heads and bodies in the bed.
Yeah.
So they could have one of these as the guard comes past with their flashlight. They'd see a surprise looking crim with lipstick smeared all over their face and think, he's there.
Just another night at jail, basically.
As they're tunneling out. Yeah.
Another story to come out of this week was a global drug survey of 2017, which found that Aussies love hitting the old Cheech and Chong's more than any other country.
Fair dinkum, out of every country.
Now, Amsterdam, you're slipping, surely.
We're the biggest bong rats. Wow.
This is the finding of the world's biggest annual drug survey, which had more than 115,000 participants from 50 countries, including 5,700 respondents from Australia. Locally, more than 75% of Aussies admitted to using illicit drugs at one point in their life, while 30% confessed to indulging in illegal substances a month before the survey. Wow. Also, two out of the 150,000 surveyed said they try to import drugs to Bali or or to Colombia. Now, legal drugs were included in the survey, and alcohol topped the list, which is a good thing. Now, interestingly, cannabis, Sid, 48.1%.
Unbelievable.
Used by Australians. Now, call you Mr. Above Average, Sid, I'd say, because...
You reckon?
You've topped out most of those lists. What?
They didn't... I wasn't part of the 5,700. But this is no surprise in a country that glorifies convicted drug smuggler and boogie boarder Chappelle Corby holds her up as Australian of the Year. Massive bong rat.
All right, well, let's do this. NRL News, and Raylene Castle has resigned from her position as chief executive of the Bulldogs and will finish at the end of 2017 football season, the club announced on Thursday morning. Now, did she resign or was she pushed, Sid?
Well, you and I knew this was going to happen. We know the answer to that rhetorical question, but I just feel glad for Woodsy. He left saying that he wanted a stable board. So good for you, Sharon. Good for you.
Jonathan Thurston was ruled out of Origin 1 early this week despite pleas to physios and medical staff to let him play.
Yeah, you've had a bit of mail about this. Can I ask, is there any way that he can play even though he came out the other day and said he won't play?
Absolutely.
He was named. So,
absolutely, he can.
Yeah, interesting.
Still, you've seen the videos of him doing training and doing some running. Obviously, a bloke that's got a busted shoulder can still run, so that's hardly surprising. But
it's not like Queensland to bend the rules at all. So
had a few people frothing when they seen that video on YouTube. St Helens have beaten off rivals to the signature of former NRL star Ben Escobar. The Colombian drug mules, they tried to get him, but no, he just couldn't get a start over there.
The Bogota, what do we call them?
The Bogota boob rats or something.
Was this headline put out by Barber's manager? Did they really beat out rivals? Are people beaten down the door to Benny Barber anymore?
I wouldn't have thought so. I suppose they're trying to, you know, you'll turn it up over there. You'll go well.
They're trying to appeal this 12-week ban. I don't know how they can do that. Mm. Makes a bit of a mockery out of it. But since we're a drug nation, we'd probably allow it.
In news that will please Sharks fans, speaking of drug nations, and have Cronulla bean counters scratching their heads, Paul Gallen has indicated he'd like to go around for another year.
Of course he would. They'll pay him for that year. Mm. But I've got more to say about him later. He had a blinder on the weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
Good on him.
It's going to really hurt what I've got to say, but anyway, I will.
Yes.
In the lead-up to one of sport's hardest contested battles, Origin stars stood side-by-side on the ongoing collective bargaining agreement saga where players and the NRL are at loggerheads. So much so that Cameron Smith has alluded to players making themselves unavailable for the upcoming World Cup. Now, Sid, we don't want to head down this path of striking and everything, and surely something's got to give here. John Grant gets sacked. The players move in, they collect, they do this bargain, and everything's apples.
Yeah, I heard John Grant is being scouted, headhunted by Cricket Australia. He's such a good administrator. This is a joke. You don't boycott. When has sport ever broken down over money? This is disgraceful, uncharted territory.
First time ever. Penrith and Origin winger Josh Mansour will make his return for Panthers this Sunday against the Dogs. I've seen photos of him without his shirt on. He's let himself go. He looks horrible. Yeah.
How's his Mansour holding up?
Fat as a
healed.
He's as fat as a fool, that bloke. West Tigers have announced the immediate signing of former Warriors utility Tui Lolahia.
Yes. I just saw this evening the Greyhound has named him at 5'8", straight in there, getting rid of that jerk-off Mitch Moses. He's also named a couple of rookies that a lot of people in the know have been waiting to see.
Mm. Well, on the flip side, the Warriors have re-signed Ligi Sau?
No idea. None of this is on my running sheet, so I'm flying blind here.
Until the 2019, and has secured Canberra fullback winger Zach Santo for the rest of the year. Now, and finally, in NRL news for this week, Origin is possibly going to be played in Singapore.
Good decision.
I mean, they are Origin crazy over there. When I think Maroons, Blues, I think Singapore Noodles. I think,
yes.
What else is Singapore good for?
Singapore Slings.
And Singapore Zoo. That's all I got.
This is Johnny Rebo's vision all over again, taking it to where the people want it, Singapore.
All right.
Play that tumbleweed sound effect.
Round 12. Let's have a look at that. All right, Friday night and four rounds actually in round 12, original jersey round, of course. And the Rabbitohs went down to the Eels at Renovators Delight Stadium in a real dog's breakfast of a game, 22 points to 16, Sid. Now, if you want to see a team in very ordinary form, check out South's run around right now.
Oh, yeah.
This is a team that is in an absolute horror form. But a team that is also hard to put a finger on what the actual problem might be. Now, good judges have put their troubles down to a variety of issues, including being a little bit low on talent, especially out wide. Also, low on morale from those from whispers from the inside.
Yes.
And low on any real go forward, i.e. Tom and George Burgess. Mm-hmm. Now, truth is, it might be any or all of those things. But one thing is for sure. Without Sam Burgess right now, the Bunnies would be absolutely getting hosed each week.
I could not agree with you more. We know about a couple of issues at the Bunnies that could be having an effect on their performance because they look very ordinary.
Mm. On the flip side, Mitch Moses, everyone's favourite, put on a decent display on Friday night, indirectly involved in a few tries as well as a try assist, putting Tepei Moroa over. Moses looks to be hitting his groove, Sid, in the blue and yellow.
Mm.
Although the ongoing issue of missed tackles is still there, he had another six on Friday night.
Look, a lot of people this week were giving me shit on Twitter about Mitch Moses having a great game and rubbing it in my face. So let me just speak slowly and explain something to all of you. This is exactly my problem with this sook. He can play. Just not when he doesn't get his own way. He is, and I'm going to say it, we're all thinking it, he's the Nick Kyrgios of rugby league.
Jeez. Not the Tomic. He's not that low.
All of the above.
If ever a score flattered a team, it was in this game, Sid. A late Alex Johnson double gave the Bunnies some respectability, but really, they were never in this one. And with star players like Adam Reynolds, horribly out of form, and others like Aaron Gray, Alex Johnson and Bryson Goodwin, uncertain of their futures, it might be a cold winter in Redfern.
Yeah, it certainly will be. Alex Johnson's late double actually put some pep in my super coach team too, so I was glad to see that. Until then, I was as horrible as the Rabbitohs.
Back the old horse named self-interest in the life race, weren't you?
Yes, yes. Do you want me to do a super coach segment every week? I'm an expert at it now.
Drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Saturday night, the Origin Bullies, the Warriors, beat a part-spin Broncos lineup at Not So Smart, 28 points to 10. Although it's hard to get too excited about anything the Warriors do, Sid, credit should be given to them for the way they've fixed a few of their problem areas. Big Don and Shank down at the former Legend Backyard Stats Lab tell me that they've almost halved the number of missed tackles from the previous round. They missed only 25 this week. Once again, their handling errors were a paltry six, and they completed a massive 86% of their sets.
Well, I can tell you, this was the highlight of the round. The Broncos missing 1,100 NRL games of experience.
1,200.
The big guns were on display. Benji Marshall walked around out there for about 80 minutes. Blake Aishford scored the opening try. This is the kind of spectacle that the game really needs to get the crowds back.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all. Well, all right, I'll continue. You know what really gets my goat about this weak-ass round?
Somehow Mitch Moses will be involved in this.
No. This really gets my goat. This is a shit-ass round where no players are playing. And what do they do? They say, Warriors, let's wear our blue jerseys.
Yeah.
So the Broncos
original
think,
jerseys.
You know what? Let's wear our shithouse blue jerseys.
Turquoise jersey.
It's stupid. The same in Canberra versus the Roosters. The Roosters are playing in blue jerseys. The Green Machine, can I repeat that? The Green Machine decide to wear blue jerseys.
Yeah.
It's confusing, and I don't like it.
Listen to who was missing from the Brisbane side this week.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Thaiday, Darius Boyd, Anthony Milford, Matt Gillette, Corey Oates, and Josh Maguire. They're all training for the Maroons, while hooker Andrew McCulloch was still out injured. Now, that was 1,200 games of experience. But old happy Wayne Bennett refused to use any of that as an excuse. Everyone else did, of course, but not him. He looked towards the number of errors of 16 and just 55% of their sets being completed. And I'd say mainly due to the number of blokes missing in Origin.
Yeah, well, it's a double-edged sword, this. You have 4,000 State of Origin players the rest of the year. You miss out a couple of weeks. So I'd prefer to have them and miss out on having them out there for a few weeks instead of not having them at all like the Tigers.
Well, once again, it looks like the Warriors will show some kind of form while the Origin period is on. It's already interesting to see a little bit of excitement around their efforts on Saturday night. Expect the honeymoon period to be over, people, in about 6 weeks' time when we see the incompetence return and opposition teams return to Cooper's red label.
Yeah.
Full strength.
I'm not a fan of this whole split round.
The other game on Saturday night with the Sharks, they once again came from behind. Ironically, this time they came from behind against the Doggies at Southern Cross Bogentat Stadium to win a thriller, 9 points to 8. Now, it's no secret, Sid, that we love Paul Gallen here.
Oh, do we? He's coming on soon.
Him and Mitch Moses. Yep. Many times we've devoted 30-minute periods to just talk all things Gallen here.
Yes.
So nothing warmed our hearts more than to see him have an outstanding game on Saturday night. Outside of kicking the field goal himself, we pretty much won the game from the Sharkies. Firstly, he took a grubber inside his own in goal.
This was inspirational.
And got out of the field of play when it looked impossible, especially for a front rower.
Yep.
And then he made 30 metres a few tackles later with the ball under his arm, put his team within field goal range when the game was at an 8-point all tie.
Yes.
Short of putting his hand up, waving to the crowd and walking off, dropping the mic.
Yep.
There's not much more as a front row he could have done, was there?
Absolutely. This was a full house at Shark Park. The Dogs were missing 3 players due to Origin, and they lost James Graham early. But Gallen, look, it hurts us to say it, but he was outstanding. To pick that ball up in the in-goal and get back out into the field of play. They then ran 100 metres to score, which turned the game. Then, like you said, later on, he ran 30 metres so they could sling it to Fonzie Townsend to kick that field goal and win the match. He was inspirational.
Now, while the effort was there for the Dogs, once again, it was the 6, 7 and 9 who had an extremely poor and ineffective game, especially in the kicking department, a fact that Des Hasler admitted after the game in the press conference. Now, with no Josh Reynolds currently, the only real light might be the arrival of Kieran Foran. Problem is, that's still 9 months away.
Yes.
The more of you see of the Sharkies, Sid, the more you think they are genuine chances of going back-to-back the first team in over 2 decades to do so. Despite coming off the back of last year's win, the loss of key players like Barber and Ennis immediately had punters doubting they could do it again.
Yes.
But the form of young Brayley and their ability to come from behind shows they've got ticker and the belief in their ability to win games. It might take a pretty good team to stop them in 2017.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Hashtag, unfortunately.
I have to agree. And having Gal there for this whole Origin period, they could really consolidate their spot. They're looking all right, the Sharkies.
Sunday, and the Raiders scored a late try to secure the win against a Roosters team accused of cheating by Ricky Stewart at Geelong Cold Stadium. 24 points to 16. Now, Ricky Stewart has told the media in his post-match press conference that teams are cheating in the play of the ball to spoil Canberra's attack, pointing out teams like the Roosters and other teams in the NRL who he thinks are getting away with having markers standing side by side in order to nullify the Raiders' attacking options. It was pretty much vintage Ricky in the press conference as he went on one of his passive-aggressive rants, saying it's partly his fault that the Raiders' attack is below last year's level. I'll quote him here, and he said, "I've been asked all year why our attacking stats aren't as good as last year. Teams have to cheat at the ruck to stifle our attack. It's been going on for several weeks, and I blame myself for not preparing my players for that." He didn't mention that he's got a room full of players really hurting in there, but nonetheless, he went on to say,
he normally says that,
"But I can show you a heap of video to prove I'm right, where they are not standing square at the marker and jumping off 8 metres instead of 10. No team can attack under those conditions. I don't blame the referees," he said, "but there are so many penalties a referee can give in a game, but they, the rival teams, continue to do it. They don't mind giving up 6 or 7 penalties against us because they know the ref is not going to continue to give penalties all afternoon.
You know what?
He's a bad loser and a worse winner.
Yeah, he always comes out with these rants when they win, and he comes out with big sooks when they lose. But you know what? This is a pet hate of mine as well, that teams know that they can do it. Teams know that if they sit up offside on the left-hand side, it'll push their play to the right. I don't know what the answer is, and I'm sure that Ricky and his rant is not going to fix it.
Well, it didn't, and I'll tell you, Trent Robinson had an answer to Ricky's accusations by suggesting that Stewart look at recruitment strategies and stop his criticism of coaches who complain about losing players to representative teams. I'll quote Trent Robinson here, and he said, "Ricky recruits his team, and he's built this team what he wants it to be," he said. "That's up to them to go and get selected or not. They had their chance a couple of weeks ago to play in the City Country Origin match, and they didn't. That's their team."
Yeah, yeah. How good's that?
First time ever, Sid, I'm going to say this.
Go on.
Go the Roosters.
Now, what's wrong with this show tonight?
According to Sprocket and Fat Sam down at the former legend Backyard Stats Lab, Jordan Rapana had one of the best games of any outside back for the year. 17 runs for 169 metres, a line break, and 2 meat pies of his own.
Yep. This was an entertaining game. It had some bomb tries and some big hits. That Soliola's hit on Keary was outstanding.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, they might be the real deal too, because without all their representative stars...
Yeah, they had 5 Origin players out.
They put on a fair show against the Raiders.
They certainly did. I didn't think they'd go anywhere near the Raiders, but they hung in there right till the end.
Yeah, and good on them
for that.
They
bombed a try.
If you're a Roosters fan out there, you've got to be excited about what they're dishing up. They look decent.
Yeah.
I hate it. Johnson, the stepper!
For the heavyweight championship of the world!
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL. And the Swans went down to fellow former High Flyers, the Hawks, by a solitary goal, leaving them all but certain to miss the semis, whilst GWS started to build some momentum with a solid 8-point victory over the West Coast Eagles, Sid.
Well, I think this was the loss that the Swans had to have.
One of 6 they've had to have.
Well, it's the one they had to have. If they hadn't had 6 already earlier, it's killing them.
One more thing about AFL before we go on. Dreamtime at the G, which is a celebration of the Indigenous players in the game, drew 85,000 fans, Richmond versus Essendon. Mm. It was a chance for AFL to rub their own tummies and pat their own backs and say what a good job they do.
They don't do that at the SCG because everyone boos.
Until they start getting sound bites from fans over in Adelaide who seem to still hold some sort of racist overtone.
Absolutely.
With what they say. Basketball.
Strange place, South Australia.
Boomers and NBA star Andrew Bogut and Opal star Liz Cambage resumed hostilities to a level that had North Korea's leader, San Choi Bao, blushing.
I'm not sure that Korea's leader is San Choi Bao.
What's his name?
It's not that.
Kim Jong-un?
It's Kim Jong-un.
Has that got a hyphen? Because if it has, he could play for the Panthers this week. Anyway, Andrew Bogut tweeted out his dislike for the gossip pages of the newspaper, which apparently was enough to spark a Twitter spat as Liz Cambage called him precious.
What's this about? Is there a bit of tension going on here?
I wonder if they've touched wee-wees.
You reckon?
I got no idea.
We'll get deep throat in just to say it. Doesn't matter if it's true.
Cycling. It's the race that keeps on giving, Sid.
Oh, how good is the Giro d'Italia?
Coming off the back of the man in the pink suit who got taken out by the coppers.
Yep.
And then we had old mate.
Thought he'd won on the bell lap.
Lap to go. Ran 108. We had today Tom Doolan, who was in the lead of the Giro d'Italia, when he stopped and lost a valuable time because...
Why?
Well, I'll let Tom explain it. Have a listen to this.
Problems. I needed to take a dump. And, I could not hold it anymore. It was...
Needed to take a dump, Sid.
That's not even lost in translation. The bloke said, "I had to take a dump." That's sensational.
Surely Tom could have done the same thing for the number twos as all bike riders do for the number one, Sid. Park the old chocolate log in the bike pants and just keep on pedaling. I'll tell you what, not many blokes will want to slipstream you if you've got the old brown trout sitting in your lycra shorts,
good,
would they?
Good tactic.
I mean, it could be a bit of a tactic. If you want to take a break away from the pack, just park a potato down the back of the old riding strides and watch the pack let you hit the lead. Instead of hitting the roids, maybe bike riders should hit an intravenous drip of dodgy Vindaloo the night before a big race. Of course, this comes off the back of Australian cricketer, opening batsman Matthew Renshaw, recently retiring hurt to drop Bill Cosby off at the pool,
yep.
Sid. And didn't you say after some of your grog bogs, you'd actually retire hurt after you backed the big brown motorhome out of the garage?
This Giro d'Italia is the gift that keeps on giving. It is now the must-watch sporting event of the year.
Well, I've got one more poop joke.
Go on.
This comes from Kimi Raikkonen in Formula One. Well, just have a listen to this. Kimi didn't get to see some speech or something, and this is what happened live on television all around the world.
Kimi, you missed the presentation by Pele.
Yeah.
Will you get over it?
Yeah, I was having a shit.
Okay, thanks.
He's got bike rider written all over him, isn't
he? That's great. I don't know why we sent Eon Sports Broken. We do poo jokes and sex doll jokes.
Golf. Former world number one pants man and occasional golfer Tiger Woods says, I haven't felt this good in a year after a bout of back surgery.
Is he still saying that today?
Well, it's exciting times for the man they call Tiger, who was then arrested and charged with driving under the influence, or DUI, of alcohol or drugs in the early hours of Monday morning in Palm Beach, Florida. Sid, I'm telling you now,
yeah.
He's back. Tiger's back.
Good on him.
He's on the piss. He's got a new Sheila. To say something else there. I'll tell you what, if there's a Tiger Woods sex tape released in the next week, I encourage all listeners to sell their houses and get on Tiger to win the British Open. Either that or he'll roll into being another freak show like John Daly.
Yep.
Tennis. Margaret Court, the lady named after the tennis courts in Melbourne, has sent an open letter to Qantas declaring she will no longer use the company because they support same-sex marriage and has sparked a massive backlash against the old battle axe million-year-old views. As I've said before, Sid, and I'll say it again,
yeah.
The sooner they allow gay marriage in this country, the sooner homosexuals can be miserable like the rest of us.
Oh, here.
And then we can stop calling them gay and start calling them unhappy,
yes.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Well, who cares what sports people think about anything other than sport? Do we want to see what Ben Cousins' thoughts are about tensions in the Middle East? How about we ring Todd Carney and ask him about the current account deficit? Who cares what these sports people think?
Oh, and she's named after a tennis court, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's how she became famous, I'm sure.
She's still filthy on that, I reckon. Soccer. The ABC2 coverage of Liverpool versus the Sydney FC has sparked all sort of controversy and backlash, as it was real amateur hour stuff. Sid, did you see any of this?
It was horrendous to watch.
It was a car crash.
Yep.
But I've got to say, early grab a mirror here. Grab a mirror, people having a go at the ABC about it. The ABC have very limited resources. They only get $1.2 billion of taxpayers' money each year.
Good point.
What else could they do?
Yeah, no, it's true.
They had a whiteboard. They had stick-on stuff.
Yep.
They had some bloke that wasn't funny cracking jokes.
He was very unfunny.
I think it's called full credit to the boys.
Yeah. We do exactly the same on a much lower budget.
We'd probably do it for $1.2 billion a year.
Full credit to the boys.
Molly, 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 molly.
That mole. We now have that mole. Nice to meet you, mole. So you're the mole.
All right, see, when we talk about rugby league journos, this next bloke is one of the greats, possibly the first immortal put into the Hall of Fame. He's written about the game we love for over the past four decades. But unlike many, he's now embraced social media to the point where you talk about Twitter juggernauts, you talk about Bieber, Kutcher, Trump, and the Mole.
And maybe. Sid punts this week.
And you can find him on @9_Molly, which is a good Twitter handle, but a shocking name for a brothel. Welcome, the Mole.
Thanks, boys. I'm not sure if I like the company you put me in with Donald Trump, but I guess I'll take it as a wrap.
Prefer Trump to Kutcher, if I'm honest, but mate, as you're aware, there is a position vacant here on Full Credit to the Boys, and you said to Sid here to get you on a phone for an interview. Now, first question, mate, what will you bring to Full Credit to the Boys if you get the job?
Oh, geez, you're putting me on the spot here now, aren't you? Well, I'll bring 125,000 loyal Twitter fans for starters. Will that get me the job?
Is that how many have I got? Have I got up there?
Yeah, 300 or something.
Yeah, good. I'm building, slowly building.
Like compy on interest. And you put two words together, mate, so you won in front of both me and Sid, so yeah. Well done on that. Mate, we thought we'd get you on, we might talk a little bit of Origin, and we also want to talk about the state of journalism, not only in rugby league, but sport in general. Now, you were formerly a sports reporter for the Daily Telegraph in Sydney, and then obviously you've won a few awards for both news and feature writing, and as well you were author of some great rugby league books, and if you can get these on Amazon, get on hold of The Masters of the Game and The Hitmen, a tribute to league's tough guy. Sid, were you there?
Did you get a mention?
I won't say.
Yeah.
Now, Molly, first of all, before we get on to journalism, are there any books in the pipeline?
It's a good question. I'll have to think about that one over the off season. The way I operate, rugby league is basically 24/7 for, you know, the 30 rounds we've got basically. And, then I come in the summertime and I think, what do I do now? So, yeah, ask me again in about October and I'll let you know.
Is there any league identity that you'd like to write about? Do you find any player fascinating?
Guys, I've got to be honest with you. I've written 7 or 8 books now and not one of them has been a player biography, basically because I think players are too boring. in any one player to justify writing, you know, 300, 400 word pages about the ones you mentioned just then, the Masters of the Game. That was a tribute to the great coaches of the game, and that was about 10 different coaches, you know, about 50 pages on each. And the other one was similar, Hitmen, was the real tough guys, the Paul Harrigans, the Steve Roaches, the Artie Beatsons, and again, just a chapter on each because... I just think, you know, people don't want to read about where, you know, Jonathan Thurston went to school and when he kissed his first girl. Now, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's just the way I see it.
Do you reckon we're stamping out the personalities in the game?
Definitely. I mean, I had a case last week where Nathan Ross, who I think you guys will agree, he is one of the great personalities of the game, one of the few ones left. And yeah. I broke a story on the Nine Wild World of Sports website that he wasn't happy with his salary at the Knights. Within 24 hours, he'd been dropped to reserve grade. You know, like he is a guy who actually spoke his mind, and he didn't say anything derogatory about the club. He didn't say it was run by a bunch of buffoons. He didn't mention the fact that they, you know, couldn't avoid the wooden spoon for the last couple of years. All he did was say that he was worth more than he was on, and the club straight away wrapped his knuckles. And so I think that's the last we'll be hearing from Nathan Ross for a while, and, you know, the game's the poorer for it.
Is he still talking to you? Is he filthy at you?
No, he's... look, I was doing him a favour. Basically... you know, he wanted it out there that he was not happy with the money he was on. So, we're fine. And, you know, I sent him messages to keep his chin up. He said he's fine and appreciated my help. So, yeah, and again, I've got to say associations, relationships like that are rare in modern-day journalism, but he's a throwback to the good old days. He's just a realistic, down-to-earth fella, whereas a lot of the players these days, I've got to say, are very precious, to say the least.
Molly, are they cagey around you? Are they concerned that they might say something that will end up in the headlines these days? Is that a concern for these blokes, or is it more to do with the political correctness of media speak and everything through these clubs now?
Yeah, it's really a combination of both. I'm pretty sure that at the start of every season, the players are sat down by their clubs and told the media is the enemy. You know, they're going to beat the crap out of any story you give them. They're just looking for a headline and be very careful what you say to them. And I don't know if you guys know this, but like we can't, as journos, just ring a player up for a chat these days. The player will get in trouble if he talks to a journo. He's got to get the okay from the media manager, and quite often the media manager will say no. So it's a very frustrating situation for the journos, and to some extent even for some of the players, because quite often, you know, when you get the players, they're happy to chat. They are a little bit wary because a few of them have been bitten, and you know, I can understand that. So it's a two-way thing, but there used to be a lot more trust. Let me put it that way.
Do you think it'll ever swing back, like in other games, like especially the NBA and the NFL over in America? Media access to those guys is unprecedented, especially to what you're talking about with the rugby league. You think it'll swing back that way, because it is in the best interest of the player and the team and the code if you do get your message and your, you know, whatever else across, put your name in headlights if you can without being a complete dickhead?
Yeah, I'd love to say yes, but sadly my gut tells me no, and if anything, I think it's only going to get worse. As you said in the intro, I've been doing this since the 80s, so for a long time, and it's just progressively getting worse and worse. The access is getting less and less. The cliches are getting more and more. And, you know, rugby league just doesn't seem to understand that it's in a battle for the hearts and minds of the fans, with AFL, with soccer, with rugby union, where players do talk more freely to the media, where there is more access. And, you know, rugby league's spoiled. They know they're going to be on the back page 4 days out of five. But, you know, the clubs and the players could manage things so much better if the players just actually spoke their minds and occasionally expressed an opinion and just really said what was on their minds, rather than blurting out the cliches and being so guarded about what they say.
Let's talk about journalism and the decline of the industry. Now, it hit you personally when Rugby League Week shut its doors only a few months ago. Now, I'm going to probably ask a rhetorical question here, Molly, but is there a solution to the deteriorating profession of sports journalism?
Well, I don't think it's journalism, sports journalism itself, guys. I think it's journalism full stop,
and
the simple reason for that is people don't read anymore. I mean, it's a worldwide trend. You know, we could see the writing on Rugby League Week for the last couple of years. Sales were slowly declining, and as I said, it's happening around the globe. And you get on a train, a bus, a plane these days, and no one's reading a newspaper. They're all looking at their phones, and that's basically, I think, the main reason the industry is in so much strife.
Now, in your long history in the industry, you've had some decent feuds. Let's talk about Robbie Farah. How's that going? Does he still brush you?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm real good mates with Tim Sheens, and in 2005, you know, I played a little part in the Tigers winning that title. I actually got Tim to the Tigers. I was the one who made the introduction, so I felt a little bit of history there. And I got on great with him, with the players. Grand final night, I sat on the bench, which I don't think any journalist has done before or since, you know, in 100 years of rugby league. That was Tim's way of saying thank you, allowing me to sit on the bench. And Robbie and I always got on fine then, but things, I've got to be careful here, things sort of went a little bit awry when the Mick Potter feud with Robbie began. And remember, Gordon Tallis threw Robbie under the bus and basically said that he came out and admitted that Mick Potter couldn't coach. And for some reason that I've never been able to work out, Robbie threw me under the bus at the same time. And because I wrote the original story that the players at the Tigers wanted Potter out, and in the end they got him out, I think he just saw me as a, you know, an influence he didn't want around him once the feud became public. And he just brushed me ever since. I put out my hand when he went to Souths this year. I said, you know, new club, fresh start, and he just brushed me. So, you know, that's his decision, and it doesn't worry me if that's the way he wants to be about things.
I was going to say, you wouldn't lose too much sleep over that, I'm sure, Molly. listen, you said to us off air before that you're heading overseas. I'm going to ask just a completely obvious question here. How do you still do your job from so far away? Because you do a good job. So how is that possible?
Yeah, look, guys, my wife's American, and somehow, silly me, I made a deal with her that one day we'd spend 6 months a year and 6 months over there. And I managed to stall her for the first 4 or 5 years, but as women or as wives do, she eventually got me. And for the last 3 years, we've spent from June to Christmas over there. And, of course, this wouldn't have been possible, you know, 10, 20 years ago. But, guys, with the internet these days, you can really work from anywhere. It's harder, I'm not going to lie to you. You've just got to work harder and work smarter, you know, work the phones, work social media, and talk to people, and, you know, the scoops will come.
Does it mean sitting up at weird hours to be able to do your job, to be able to talk to the right people at the right times?
Yeah, it does. There's a nice little window between about 7 o'clock at night to midnight, and that's the morning hours here. So that's when I make my calls. But when it does feel very strange, is getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch Origin, sitting all by yourself in a lounge room in the middle of the backwoods of Georgia. It's a very very strange feeling. Compared to normally being out there with 80,000 people. It's an adjustment, I'll say that.
Doing work at that time, is that as weird as Skyping Buzz Rothfield without a shirt on? Is that?
I thought we weren't going to discuss Buzz Rothfield and Skyping topless and bottomless sometimes.
Now, Sid,
yes.
Let me tell you something about Molly. Molly's been collecting and publishing sports trivia for several years, has written the Rugby League quiz book and also the Cricket quiz book.
I've got the Rugby League quiz book.
And although he isn't as knowledgeable on the subject of porn as me, he's considered a massive chance by good judges here to take top spot on porn star athlete. Now, you ready, Molly? You ready for a crack at the title?
Well, I do know a few of my porn stars, so yeah, I think I'm a fair chance.
Well, our current leader is Yvonne Sampson.
Equal top with Gus Warland, who is a porn expert, self-professed.
Yes. So you're in good company.
And Adam Gilchrist, running in bronze position at the moment.
Yeah, so he's filthy about that. He's very competitive. So let's play this.
Is it a porn star? Or is it an athlete?
Yeah.
Is it a porn star? Or is it
Now, I know what you're thinking. You're feeling rather amorous after hearing that song, Molly, but you have to calm down and concentrate, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a name, and quite simply, you just got to tell me whether it is a name from the porn world or from the athletic world. It's pretty simple.
Can I quickly Google some porn sites I'm thinking?
We I'm sure they're in your favourites, but we suggested that Adam Gilchrist might have been doing that because he deliberated long and hard
Didn't
over
he?
A couple.
Yeah.
Long
and hard.
Nice easy one. Straight to get you underway. Sword Hamburger. Is he a porn star or an athlete?
Oh, I'd say an athlete. Doesn't sound very porny to me.
He is a rower from Holland, so well done. You're one from one. Next one. Kehlani Lay.
Let's go, porn star.
Ooh. She won best group sex scene in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Have you seen that, Molly?
Yeah, I thought she was outstanding. Really creative.
Next one. John Strong.
Got to be a porn star.
Three from three. He won 2004 best group sex scene in Flesh Hunter 5.
You are on fire, Molly.
Another classic.
Ryan Dirt Eater.
Let's go, athlete.
He's a rodeo rider. He won the last cowboy standing at El Dorado Days. Darwin Slimpoke.
That sounds like a porn star.
You are dead set on fire.
Molly, we might go and play the Pyramids poker machine after this, if you don't mind. He was in 2015, Adriana Chechik, the ultimate slut. All right, Dick Pohl.
I think that's a trick question. I reckon he's an athlete.
He's a baseballer. Chris Cock.
I think that's another trick question. We'll go athlete.
Finally.
He was in the ultimate slut alongside
Darwin Slimpoke, of course.
Darwin Slimpoke, yeah.
I've been meaning to watch that one. I obviously have to catch up on my porn.
I'll send you a copy. A
couple of household names there, to be honest. Fabian Arseman.
Let's go, porn star.
He's a soccer player from Argentina. Ruben Bumpchi Bumpchi.
That's got to be an athlete.
It is indeed.
He's a basketballer from Cameroon. Chase Outlaw.
Athlete.
Oh, he's a
Could have gone either way, that one, couldn't it?
He's a rodeo rider and he won the Monster Energy Buck Off at Madison Square Garden. I'm still not sure that's not a porn star, but nonetheless. All right, I'm going to give you the two pronunciations here because I'm not sure which way this one goes. Lucius Pussy or Luscious Pussy?
Now, if that's not a porn star, I'll turn it up.
Turn it up.
Turn it up.
He's a gridiron player. He changed his name, apparently. Cleo Valentine.
Athlete.
She won best sex scene in the parody Batman vs. Superman XXX. Marcus.
Yeah, another one I've been meaning to watch.
Marcus Iron.
Oh, he sounds like an NFL player to me. Let's go, athlete.
He won best sex scene for the Gavien Awards winner in with Dean Phoenix in Buckaroos 2. Good watch. Naughty Naughty.
Got to be a porn star.
You started off so well.
Soccer
I've
player.
Hit the wall.
I'm not playing the Pyramids anymore. Andre Muff.
Athlete.
Well done. He's a soccer player from Switzerland. Eric Everhard.
Athlete.
He won 2015 XBiz Award for Gangbang Me. Asa Akira.
I don't do gay porn. Let's make him a porn star.
Asa Akira, she won best double penetration sex scene with Tony Ribas and Eric Everhard. Longa.
Athlete, trick question.
Good job.
Basketballer from Egypt. Ben Gay.
Like I said, I'm not a fan of gay porn, so let's do athlete.
Here he comes.
Last one, Molly. Here it is. Eva Vortex.
Let's make it a porn star.
Eva Vortex is a fetish trans woman who appeared in Tooled Up Shemales 2, Molly.
And because you knew that, you are equal clubhouse leader with 13. Congratulations.
Wow. What's my prize?
Well, we'll send it to you, but it takes batteries, if you don't mind.
And we'll send you a copy of Buckle Roos 2. You didn't seem to know that one.
Nah, it is one on my list, on my buckle list.
Yeah, don't put it at the top and don't watch it with someone else. Now, Molly, as is the tradition here, we usually get people on here who have a go to then challenge anyone out there to take on your score. Is there anyone that you can think of that you'd like to challenge the high score of 13 in Portsar Athlete?
Why not my old mate Buzz Rothfield of Nude FaceTime fame? He's seen a bit of porn in his time, I venture to say.
Mainly on Skype, but nonetheless.
We'd love to have Buzz on.
Yeah, well, let's see what we can do.
Excellent.
All right. Well, once again, mate, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy your 1 week holiday before you head over to the US. Don't forget, you can find this man on Twitter at 9_Molly, or you can read his work on Wide World of Sports website. Thanks very much, mate. We appreciate your time, and thanks for being a good sport.
Thanks, guys. And I'm also, I'm here, I'm trying to build up my Facebook following. So when you put up the link, I'll put up my Facebook page, and hopefully a few of your listeners will like me.
We'll certainly, I know most of them do, mate, so yep. we'll certainly add that to our tweets and everything else, mate. Like I said, appreciate your time, mate. Enjoy your time overseas and stay safe, fly safe, and we'll see you back on the shores around summer.
Thanks, guys. I'll be back.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Full credit to the boys.
All right, Sid, it's time for podcasting in Australia's number one segment. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yes, Sid, I know you're tongue and you're champing to get off the bit, yeah. Trying to get off this. You're pulling hard against that lead. You're pulling harder than a 14-year-old boy. It's time for you to be let loose and free with your first grab a mirror. Go.
Grab a mirror, Manchester City player, Leroy Sane. Do you know who this guy is?
Leroy Sane, do I? No.
Leroy Sane is a 21-year-old German soccer player / knobnut. He got a full back tattoo of himself celebrating a goal he scored in some game. His team lost 3-1 in that game.
Oh, no.
But apparently that one was not only worth celebrating, but also worthy of one of the world's worst tattoos on his full back of him celebrating. This is the worst sporting, nay, worst tattoo since my Southern Cross Bogan tat on my left arm, which I'm sort of proud of. He took off his shirt this week, getting a yellow card in the process just to show off this self-indulgent crap piece. So grab two mirrors because it's hard to look at your back. Grab two mirrors, Leroy Sane, so you can admire your stupid life decision.
And if you're a real soccer player, the only tattoo you'd be getting on was one where you're rolling around the ground trying to milk a penalty. Grab a mirror, NRL players on the field who laugh and smile after a loss, Sid.
Oh, hear, hear.
And then they post on Instagram the next day about having a great time at some shit event. Fans hurt for days while these blokes stick around on the field, have a chat with a few of the opposition players who just put 8 tries on them, and they have a couple of knee-slapping jokes before toddling off to Fashion Week or Coogee Bay Inn or one of Justin Hems' weakest piss excuses for a pub. Jeez, there's a grab a mirror, Sid. Hems' pubs.
Yes.
What a disgrace those punsy prima donna joints are. Anyway, back to the topic at hand, Sid. There's two times I'm confused these days when I look at rugby league teams. One, when they're all standing together and I'm trying to figure out which one is the winger and which one is the front row when I can't see their numbers.
True.
And two, the other time is after a game when I'm trying to guess which team won and which team lost just by looking at their body language. So anyway, grab a mirror, NRL players. If for no other reason, for the sake of your fans, can you please start acting like you give a shit after the game? You know, acting. Just start acting like Paul Gallen does when Sharon Woods breathed on him that time and he flew backwards down the field like a tumbleweed in an old Clint Eastwood cowboy movie.
10.
At MP6868 said, grab a mirror. Anyone using Beauty Queen for the bong-smoking, boogie-board-bearing Bogan? Sucked in, Queensland. She's one of yours.
Yeah.
# who ate the donuts?
Nice. Did you see as soon as she came back, she went straight to KFC just to prove her Bogan ability.
9.
Grab a mirror, says at Shaywom. My postie, who didn't seem to enjoy me singing him the Full Credit to the Boys podcast boy sack theme when he dropped off the mail last Thursday, # AVO.
8.
Very good.
At DJ and Goose, chinners, grab a mirror, my wine fridge. Where were you Why were you empty on the weekend when I needed you the most? Hashtag blame the husband. Hashtag had to drink UDLs.
Ah, oh, I love UDLs.
7.
Grab a mirror. Men over 55 swimming in budgie smugglers, says at Lynn G 62. I'm a female in that age group and it makes me want to throw up. Hashtag no one wants your banana.
Good point. Good point.
6.
I'd be happy to have a banana, Sid. The prophet at Claudster 69. He's attached this little story where New South Wales Latino has defeated Queensland Latino 32-8 tonight in Brisbane in the Rugby League. And he wrote, grab a mirror, New South Wales and Queensland Latino League teams playing each other whilst drug dealing, house cleaning and gardening is being ignored. Hashtag disgrace. Hashtag deport them. Oh, no.
5.
Oh, we're shutting radio stations down here. Oh, strap yourself in.
Uh-oh.
At Nath J. Cooper.
Ah, oh, Coops is back.
Grab a mirror, vasectomies. Pain-free. Back to work Monday, they said. Hashtag bullshit. Hashtag can't the pain go, but the swelling stay. Hashtag don't sneeze. Hashtag want to see my Band-Aid.
Oh, what are your best? Well done, Coops.
4.
At F-A-R-K-U-R. Far Colonel 66, the tall man. He wrote, grab a mirror, drug smuggling scrubbers. You'll get caught and monopolise the media, so please be rootable. Hashtag not all hookers are rootable. Hashtag shut your mum up too.
Well, that leads me to my second grab a mirror.
Off you go.
Grab a mirror, journalists. What qualifications do you need nowadays, former, to become a journalist?
Well, we did speak to Molly.
Yes.
After what he said, the way it's all heading, I don't think we're going to need much to be a journo in the next 5 or 10 years.
Well, 40 of Australia's finest journos booked tickets on a flight out of Bali this week so they could be the first or the second or all the way up to 40 with pics of Chappelle Corby leaving Bali to return to Australia. Big news story, apparently. I don't care. But they booked the wrong flight. Not only the wrong flight, a completely different airline. So this is a bunch that were outsmarted by a person who doesn't have a good history of outsmarting anyone at an airport. So hang your heads in shame, you bunch of hacks.
Oh. Grab a mirror, Kate Robertson.
Who's Kate Robertson?
Well, the Sydney Morning Herald put up a story today, and Kate Robertson was quoted as saying, giving up drinking saved me $4,000 a year.
Hey.
I'm tipping giving up drinking also saved her a few dollars in birth control too. Anyway, go on.
Quitting drinking would save me $4,000 a week. She's doing it wrong.
The Bureau of Statistics estimates Australians drank more than 1.74 billion litres of beer. Is that you?
I'm having a sip right now.
And 543 million litres of wine in 2014. In 2012, Australians spent $14.1 billion on alcohol, meaning the average spend for a single person under 35 was $24 a week or $1,248 a year. Once again, Sid, I say to you, welcome to being above average.
It's good I'm above average at some things.
But in the story, Kate Robinson said in 1 year of not drinking, I saved about $4,000.
Well, she's way above average.
And in turd, made you a boring nerd burger, Kate, who ends all her stories with, and then I went home and got a good night's sleep. What also quoted in the article says, this is not including the terrible food I used to order at the end of the night and the terrible morning to combat the hangover.
I'm not seeing any problems here.
Terrible food? Hang on a minute here, Sid.
This is disgraceful.
Sid, I ask you, has there ever been a better tasting morsel of food pass through your lips than a dirty street kebab or a delightful 7-Eleven hot dog at 2 in the morning?
Yes,
now, there's
couldn't
an
agree
there's
more.
An episode of MasterChef I'd like to watch. Piss plugs judging Dim Sims at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Kate Robinson then went on to say, I still went out, just not as often or for as long.
Or with anybody.
The people I saw the most were supportive and about compromises, splitting the tab differently. Oh, here we go.
Or
requesting I bring desserts to dinner instead of wine. I felt more comfortable. What about the Gorilla Biscuits cake? I felt more comfortable than I realised I could drink soda and lime in short glasses and no one would know it didn't contain vodka. Occasionally I'd buy a mocktail, which sadly is never the same.
People would know when they spoke to you.
Sid, is there a more chilling word in the English language than mocktail?
I don't even know what that means.
That word gives me the heebie-jeebies, and the same word words like anal leakage, heavy week, or Tim Gilbert do. Anyway, giving up drinking, Sid. If I gave up drinking, how would I find boring pricks like Kate Robertson interesting? Grab a mirror, Kate. Go and buy a few cats as well.
3.
At Punting Tragic said, grab a mirror hypnotist helping me to quit smoke. Woke up with a sore jaw and have been craving cigars all week. Hashtag sus. Hashtag malpractice. Hashtag hypnotist tastes funny.
2.
Oh. Shifty!
Shifty.
Shifty from the Full Credit to the Boys Stats Lab said, grab a mirror, anyone with Corby and Pell in your name. Chappelle, Mercedes, Matt, Corbin Sims, and George, all grab a mirror.
1.
Grab a mirror, Jessica Mowboy.
What's Jessica Mowboy done?
For not thinking my idea of re-releasing Simply the Best for the NRL was the greatest idea in history. Hashtag true story. Hashtag best ideas are beer ideas.
Who sent that one to us?
It's from at EV, IV, what, how do you say that?
Yvonne Sampson.
At Yvonne Sampson.
That's a cracking idea, Vonnie.
Yeah, grab a mirror, Jessica.
I want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
They were good grab a mirrors this week. Still the greatest segment in podcasting history and formerly the highest rating segment on digital sports radio. They're going to miss that.
Probably not. Listen, there's a whisper on the street.
Yeah, go
don't
on.
Don't tell anyone.
Mm.
Origin's on.
Yeah, mad.
That and Chappelle Corby's home. Anyway, let's do a bit of a preview for Origin. We won't go too deeply into it. I mean, that's not for us. That's for people who are experts on this sort of thing.
Okay.
Did podcasts that put you to sleep. But anyway... New South Wales this time, Sid, I reckon, have named a team that probably, individually, aren't playing better.
Yes.
Or haven't been playing better than what they are now. Mitchell Pearce has been described by Laurie Daly as more mature and has become a leader. His off-sider, the barbecue king Maloney, is the perfect foil to the way Pearce plays, and it's been, we've seen that when he was with the Roosters.
Yes.
We have attacking weapons throughout the back line. The dream man, Jared Hayner, is in sparkling form. Big Cock Tedesco. We'll have some pressure off him by not being the only go-to man in the team. Now, with all that in mind,
yes,
this is a massively defining game in Origin history for
absolutely
New South Wales.
Absolutely it is.
Who will and should go in as favourites? Queensland have no JT,
mm-hmm.
no Matt Scott, no Billy Slater, and no Greg Inglis.
Yep.
Now, if we lose this with the strength of the team we are fielding and the outs the Queensland have, and let's face it, they still have a named Valentine Holmes.
Yeah, that's true.
Amongst a few others.
Yep.
Well, I reckon this could strike a blow to the psychology of the Blues for the next 5 or so years.
I couldn't agree more with your summation. I am confident yet cautious.
Yeah.
I've actually picked one winner from the last 11 series, so I'm no expert. But this year, you're right, is our best year. We've named a team pretty much on form, which is rare for us to do. There's a couple of players that we mentioned last week, but the same could be said with Queensland. A couple of people were unlucky.
Mm.
I think our forwards will dominate their forwards, and that will allow our players that can provide that spark. I think we've got more players that can provide something out of nothing than they do.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the biggest out for Queensland, and it doesn't really get the attention that the JTs or Inglises or Slater do, but Matt Scott
Yeah.
Statistics alone say that without Matt Scott, New South Wales are right back in the game.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I just don't think they've got the game breakers like they normally do.
No, I'd prefer that they didn't have Billy in, put it that way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Dale Blackmore put in a tweet for Grab a Mirror. He wrote, Grab a Mirror, HG Nielsen, no State of Origin coverage with Roy, left with the clowns from Channel 9, hashtag gutted.
Absolutely.
That was probably the most devastating thing to come out of this week is that Roy and HG aren't calling it this week.
I was upset that Roberts wasn't playing and Vaughan weren't playing, but this upset me more. Disgraceful.
Well, with all that in mind, who's the winner, Sid?
Well, having just said that I'm not very good at picking the winner of Origin Series, New South Wales will win by probably about 10, I think.
Do you want to have a go at the actual score?
I would say 24-14.
First try scorer?
Oh, geez, put me on the spot. It's going to be a massive tale of redemption, and Mitchell Pearce will go over first.
And finally, man of the match, game one.
Man of the match will be Mitchell Pearce.
Wow.
Just made that all up on spec there. They'll be roughies, those.
I will say
what do you got?
New South Wales will win by 2 points.
Wow.
14-12.
Yep.
First try scorer for me.
Yes.
Will be, drum roll, Josh Dugan.
Because
he won't pass it to Ferguson. He'll be in the clear anyway.
Yeah, interesting.
Man of the match for me will be Boyd Cortner, a captain's effort.
Yeah. I wish I had my time over now.
Now, we won't. Is that it? Is that all we want to touch on? I mean,
yeah, that's all. Hopefully, we've got a guest on next week that we can discuss Origin further after the New South Wales Blues smash those putrid Queenslanders.
We've lined up a guest, a Blues, former Blues great.
We have indeed.
A former, well, let's just leave it at that, eh?
Yeah, we've announced it now. They better come on.
Don't let us down. All right, well, enjoy State of Origin, everyone. Go the Blues. If you're from Queensland, enjoy 1956. It was a good year. In the meantime, let's have a look at this. The round 12 preview, and apparently Todd Greenberg has announced that it's Chappelle Corby round.
Oh, good. I haven't heard enough about her.
Fans are encouraged to bring their boogie boards to the ground in support of the former Australian number one ranked drug smuggler.
Yeah.
We start off on Friday night. The Storm take on the Knights at Rondra Kotut in the Dustin Cooper Cup.
Yes.
Who do you like in the Coops Cup?
Well, I like the Storm to beat the Knights. The Knights are horrible.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Eels v Warriors at Renovators Delight in the Ivor Rapati plate.
Well, as you know, I now go for Parramatta because my mate Mitch is over there. And I think he's going to have a whale of a game and the Eels will beat the Warriors.
Yeah, I think the same, I think.
That was said with a lot of confidence.
Saturday night's in the Chinners Sitters Legend Cup.
Oh, it is too.
Dragons take on the Tigers at Renovators Delight in the Kieran Kerr Cup. Who do you like in the Kieran Kerr Cup?
Well, I said to you off air earlier today, I'm not going to back the Tigers ever again. Well, at least not this year. Well, I forgot it's Sitters against Chinners. I'm going to change this. The Tigers will win. I'm actually wrapped with the way the Greyhound has named a few players on the bench, blooding a couple of players. Eason Masters. I'm not sure how you say his first name. Masters. And Eisenhuth. He's picked them on the bench.
Bless you.
And they reckon they're good players. And we've got Lolo here at 5'8". Yeah, I'm going the Tigers in an upset.
Same here. I think we can actually do that.
Okay.
Roosters take on the Broncos at Chai Latte on Oat Milk Stadium this week in the Justin Hodges Shield.
I'm going to go the Broncos. I think this will be the match of the round, actually.
Oh, yeah. Great match. It's strange it's on a Saturday. I'll take, well, there's lots of Origin players probably maybe backing up, I guess. I don't know what the coach's plans will be.
It's a lottery.
I'll back the Roosters at home.
Interesting.
Cowboys take on the Titans at 1300 eggs in the Clint Taurus Amos Cup.
What?
Clint Taurus Amos Cup. Clint Taurus Amos Cup.
That's a bit of a stretch, that one, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys to beat the Titans.
Yeah, Same.
Again,
same.
Depending on who's backing up and who's not, and
don't
whatnot.
Like having the same as you. But right now, we're everything's the same. Sunday, the Seagulls take on the Raiders at Legoland in another one of these Phil Blake bowls. I think there's about 9 teams play for the Phil Blake bowl.
Yeah, they all can play for it. I am Denard over this one, the Savo. The Raiders, to me, looked very ordinary. I know it's the ref's fault and the rules. And
Marbo,
the vibe, and just everyone's fault except the Raiders. I think the Sea Eagles will beat the Raiders at Legoland.
I think at the end of this game, Ricky's going to come out and say, I've got a room full of boys really hurting in there. I think the Sea Eagles will win this. I think they are specials. Bulldogs take on the Panthers at Renovators Delight in the Tasbatiri Trophy.
I think this will be a low, low game with two low teams facing off against each other, which actually might make it a good game because they'll both be shit. I've got the Bulldogs just beating the Panthers.
No, I've got the Panthers. I think they're special, so I don't think the Dogs will win another game this year.
Yeah. Interesting.
He's the last man standing, sit for long.
Now,
give this a miss, eh?
I am sure if you had your time over, I think even when we pressed stop, you said, why am I going the Brisbane Broncos with 400 players out? And yeah. Subsequently,
proved right.
You lost. So your $96.34 is now zero.
Yes.
But
the 40 you owe me goes down to 20.
I thought you'd forgotten about that. No, I haven't written that up on the whiteboard. Oh, it is up there on the whiteboard. My $77.41 is now worth 1.42 times that, whatever that is, $109.92222 recurring.
Did you figure that out in your head?
Yeah, just off the top of my head. So you're starting with $20 again.
Very good at maths.
Who are you going for?
I'll start on ground zero with my $20 and I'll have it all on the Penrith Panthers. The old Penrith Panthers.
Yeah, the Penrith Panthers.
$1.81.
$1.81.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to consolidate my lead.
Nah, you're not going to go the Storm.
Going the Storm.
Nah.
Which will be $1.01, but I don't care.
Soft as butter. $1.13.
$1.13. Don't go broke, back and winners.
Full credit to the boys.
All right, Sibyl, it's been maybe 1 or 2 weeks. We thought we might get Deep Throat back on.
Deep Throat's back.
You've been Googling Deep Throat for the last couple of weeks.
I've been making sure I delete my search history.
All right, well, call her in. Deep Throat, got anything for us this week?
Okay, boys, let's start with some good news. My sources tell me that the NRL have 4 bands in mind for the grand final this year, all monster names, and sure to get the party started. How would the public react if the NRL announced Foo Fighters to play at the grand final this year?
Foo Fighters? I'm buying a ticket now.
Bit better than Keith Urban, right?
Well, even Nicole Kidman would say that.
Or if they don't secure the Foo Fighters, I believe that they might go after The Killers, Midnight Oil, or Alice Cooper.
Oh, The Killers, Sid.
Yeah.
How good would that be?
That'd be awesome.
Sid.
Yeah.
Who's The Killers?
You're an idiot.
All right, well, have you got anything else for us, Deep Throat?
Second up, this one is a bit of a downer, and I actually hope it's not right. There's a story blowing around that one of the game's biggest names won't play for his current team again. In fact, he's employed a legal team to explore all avenues, which has some staff members very nervous.
Oh, geez, that sounds messy. Might leave that one. Let that one go through the keeper, Sid. What about anything else to finish us up with one?
Third up, and I've got to be careful with this one. There's a rather important figure in the NRL that has encountered some, let's say, financial issues. It's a little concerning because of his position in the game. The NRL, aware of his issues, have offered support and will keep an eye on things for the time being.
Very interesting. Well, thank you once again, Deep Throat, for all your scoops.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate you coming on the show. We'll probably speak to you again in a few weeks.
And Former, get a haircut.
And Deep Throat, get off the testosterone.
Full credit to the boys.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sack.
The boy sack mail and feedback time set. And if you're listening to us on Eon Sports Radio, your radio's broken.
I reckon everyone should sing that theme tune every time their postie turns up now. That's a great idea.
I just got a tweet from at Mr. Barjas, who said, Madge McGuire came out the week and said, we need to have a good hard look at ourselves as a club. Mr. Barjas wrote, it's the ultimate grab a mirror. The whole South Club has to grab a mirror and have a look at themselves. So thanks, Mr. Barjas.
Very good.
Five-star review time. Said, I believe we have one from DJ and Goose.
We do. A very good friend of the show.
Now, DJ and Goose, I think, had a rough crack at me in this. She said, boys, I think last week's episode was one of your best. Great guests, serious stuff, some music, and great footy banter. But my favourite part has to be Former's giant, oh no, girly giggle.
Yep. We're pretty proud of that episode, if we're honest.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was very well received.
Yeah, very big numbers.
Private messages. We got about four or five from people who said, for various reasons, that episode meant something to them.
So yes.
If you haven't heard it, go back and have a listen. There's some important messages amongst the fun that we had on that episode.
We still did dick jokes.
Yeah, if you're still hanging for a couple of dick jokes, you'll still get them.
We're not ladies who league. Can I say that?
Yeah. And thank you to Gus and to Richard Callender last week.
Yes.
Of course, thank you for Molly for trying out for the co-host job this week.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job.
I don't think we can have a bloke over in America for half the year, but can we?
No.
All right. This week, subscribe. How many times, Sid?
Seven.
Seven times. Subscribe, unsubscribe, seven times.
Yep. For Mitchell Pearce putting the seven jersey back on. Seven times.
And Sid, who's been your dickhead of the week?
Well, unfortunately, you, my friend, are my dickhead of the week.
You were?
Yeah, you heard me.
Why?
Well, before the show every week, not a lot of people know this, probably nobody knows this, we always crank up some music, pump it up, get excited. This week, you wouldn't let me play the Gorillaz. Instead, you insisted on playing John Williamson's Give Me a Home Amongst the Gum Trees.
It was not.
Didn't really pump me up.
Rip, rip, good wood chip.
Who's your dick out of the week?
You, Sid.
Good.
It's not.
But no, who was it really?
Former Australian cricket coach John Buchanan, who this week tried to fix the Cricket Australia versus the Players Union dispute by handing down his seven-point plan despite nobody asking for it. Amongst Brainiac Buchanan's suggestions was to scrap the Boxing Day and New Year's test matches and also start the Big Bash in mid-January. Brilliant, Johnny.
Wow.
Brilliant. Scrap the two big money spinners from the calendar, you dead-set goose, and delay domestic cricket's shining light. It's not often I say this, Sid, but Shane Warner's right. Buchanan is a knob nut.
Did he put this out for homework for them to do? What an idiot.
This week, we look ahead. Who's under the pump?
Well, I'll tell you who's under the pump. Any sex doll that ends up in a prison's under the pump.
And a puncture repair kit or two wouldn't go astray either.
Who gets your under the pump this week?
The good people of Tamworth, Sid.
Oh, yes.
Not only are they subjected to the world's worst music festival, the New South Wales Tourism Minister has plans to snare the world's worst awards night by sending the Logies out west to Tamworth.
Wow.
In 2018, he plans to get the award ceremony in Tamworth. The next year, it'll be in Dubbo.
Dubbo?
The next year, it'll be in Albury.
Can you imagine Carl Stefanovic turning up for work the next day after a night on the Goon in Dubbo?
He'd end up at the zoo somehow, I reckon. So
that's
anyway,
another genius idea.
Sorry, people in Tamworth. Hopefully, you dodge a bullet and don't get the Logies.
I reckon.
All right, thank you very much for listening. Thank you once again to the Moley for fitting us in just before he jumped on a plane. That was very good of him.
Go and like him on Facebook.
Listen, this week, next week I should say, we're interviewing, well, a big name.
Yes, we are indeed. Good friend of the show.
In the meantime, Sid, have you got anything, any wise words, any parting wisdom you want to give to the creditors?
No, I just want you all to go and tell your friends to listen as well so you've all got something to talk about. When you go out with that chick who doesn't drink anymore, whatever her idiot name was.
Speaking of Kate Robertson, I got one more thing to say about her.
Kate Robertson.
I needed to take
a dump.
That'll do us. All right. See you all. Good night.
It's good night from me.
Give your mum a kiss.
It's good night from him.
From legend.
Ta-da.
Stick the tongue in. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?